read regularly. That's called shravana, hearing about Krishna. This is necessary because we're constantly being influenced, or you could say bombarded, by so many different sounds and so many different teachings. So this material world is mostly a place of forgetfulness of Krishna. Therefore, unless we take regular deliberate steps, we'll fall into forgetfulness. It's not enough that you once read these books, but you have to do it regularly. Just like with chanting. You have to regularly keep up spiritual life. Even if someone has been a devotee for what we consider a long time, which in the ISKCON movement means 10, 20 years. Still, that's not such a long time, but one doesn't become so strong that he or she will not be influenced by Maya. Maya is an agency of Krishna, Mama Maya Dharatyaya. To punish the conditioned souls, to give the conditioned souls also the facility that they want to enjoy, and then to punish them. And if they're intelligent, after a while, they'll understand that I don't want this suffering anymore. I'm trying to enjoy and suffering by the material laws. So then they seek release from Maya. But Maya also, although we normally say that Maya has nothing to do with the devotee, that's true. But that means the devotee who always is taking shelter of Krishna, Mahatmanas, Tumam Partha, Daivam, Kapakimam Sri Tam, one who's always in the spiritual energy. But we neophyte devotees, if at any time we show interest in the material life again, then Maya is ready to pick us up in that energy. In other words, Maya is ready to test the devotee. We'll be tested by being tempted to break the regulative principles, try to enjoy, forgetting that we are spirit soul, thinking that we're this body. Maya will test us. And how can we not become a victim of Maya? By being strong in Krishna consciousness and having regularly heard the philosophy every day and feeling close to Krishna. Krishna is very powerful and he can protect us from the Maya, the fall down. But if we don't stay close to Krishna, then we'll be weak, even when we may think we are strong. Strong in spiritual life means to be taking shelter, just like a little child. Her position is strong when she is fully in the protection of the strong parents. That's our spiritual strength, not on your own. By your own material power or your mental speculation. So a sign of shelter is to regularly chant and hear with the attitude that I need this, I need to do this. You shouldn't chant and read thinking, all right, we're supposed to do this, this is our duty. We told the guru we would do this. I don't like to do it. I don't really think I need to do it so much, but you're supposed to do it. No, that's not taking real shelter. Maya will see your heart and say, you're just doing this out of some sense of duty, but in your heart you really don't want to do it. And then we'll admit to Maya, that's true, I really don't want to do it. And then Maya will say to us, then Why pretend? Do what you really want to do. Why don't you have sense gratification again? Don't be always hearing about Krishna. So we don't want to have that kind of a dialogue with Maya. So we need to take shelter of Krishna. And we should be aware of that and then do it. So the class is nice that you have daily, but there should be some other time to read Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanya Charitamrita. So let's look at a verse here. Ratribyam inam tad adabra biram upekshanad jayhitam apramata gurur hares charano pashanantastro jahi vyalikam svayam atma mosham. This is the end of the fifth canto chapter. Jad Bharat instructs King Rahugana. He was talking a great deal about the mind and how you have to try to control your mind. Then he concludes his chapter. This uncontrolled mind is the greatest enemy of the living entity. If one neglects it or gives it a chance, it will grow more and more powerful and will become victorious. Although it is not factual, it is very strong. It covers the constitutional position of the soul. O King, please try to conquer this mind by the weapon of service to the lotus feet of the spiritual master and of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Do this with great care. So, he's describing a regular struggle that we have to engage in with our mind. You know how your mind, just I can give you an example that everyone will agree they have experienced. When you try to chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And you're trying to think with your mind, intelligence. O holy name, O Krishna, please pick me up. Please engage in your service. But while you're trying to hear the holy name and think in that way, so many different thoughts come. So that's the mind. The mind wants to go its own way. And we want it to go another way. But the mind is very strong. And so it's going in a different way. So there's a struggle between the spiritual interest of the person or the soul and the mind, which is looking at all different things for sense enjoyment and thinking about different things without any real purpose. And when you allow that habit to develop, the mind gets so strong that it overruns the whole situation by strength. Just like things that if you let them go uncontrolled, animals or different things like that, a growing up of weeds, when you let a thing for a long time get out of control, it becomes very strong. It's hard to control it. So the mind is like that. But he says, if you neglect the mind and give it a chance, it will become victorious and more powerful. Although it's not more powerful than the soul is just covered over and it allows the mind to take control. We should not allow the mind to take control. Purport. There is one easy weapon with which the mind can be conquered: neglect. The mind is always telling us to do this or that. Therefore, we should be very expert in disobeying the mind's orders. That may sound strange, that Prabhupada is advising us to be disobedient. Usually we hear that we should be very obedient, we should be very submissive. But he says here we should be disobedient. We should be disobedient to the mind, to the mind's orders. The mind says, go ahead, do that. Go ahead, think of this. Do this, do that. So we should say, no, I will not obey you. You are not my real self. Just because you are talking within me that you want this and you want that, I will do what my spiritual master says and what Krishna says. I'm not going to follow your instructions. Don't think that just because you have a strong feeling that that's the truth, that's what you have to do. That strong feeling may be Maya. So you have to be able to say no, or be disobedient to the mind's orders. I don't think we can stop, we can't just stop the mind's orders, but at least you don't have to obey them. It's said in the Bhagavad Gita that just as rivers enter into the ocean, but the ocean is so big that it doesn't get disturbed. So in the same way, desires may enter into the heart of a self-realized person, but he doesn't obey them or follow them. But it is admitted there that even in a self-realized person, he may get material desires entering into his mind, but he doesn't take them seriously. A bad thought, just like a bad odor, can enter into the room. Everyone will smell it. But somebody who's not very grave, a little child, may get all upset. Oh, there's a bad smell, and lose his whole purpose. But a sober person, he will not become disturbed. So, but the material desires, they may enter. We should be disobedient. Gradually, the mind should be trained to obey the orders of the soul. It is not that one should obey the orders of the mind. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say that to control the mind, one should beat it with shoes many times just after awakening and again before going to sleep. In this way, one can control the mind. What does that mean, that we should beat our mind with shoes? Should we actually do that? Keep our shoes under our bed and then wake up? And then you see the devotee, you'll be hitting himself on the head? Not exactly. Although if that helps, you could do it. The main thing is to know what you're doing while you're doing it. It means that when you wake up, you're bound to have so many things on your mind, especially you dream different things. Or every day we start thinking of different material desires and schemes and plans, picking up from where we left off yesterday. So right away, before the mind gets too wild or strong and starts determining for the day, all right, now let's go out and get sense gratification, let's forget Krishna. Right away, as soon as the consciousness starts in the morning, you start beating those bad thoughts. That's what Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur means. And then he says, at night, you should do it again. In this way, life is not so easygoing for a devotee, but he's always trying to be vigilant and control his wayward tendencies. There are three stages: thinking, feeling, and willing. In the thinking stage, you just start to plot or make up some plan. And then, after a while, especially we're referring to sinful activities or activities in forgetfulness of Krishna. So, if you do a bad act, it had a start. It started with a seed of thinking about it. And the more you think about it, someone's thinking, I think I'll steal some money. Or I think I'll do some illicit act. The more you start thinking about it, then you get your emotion starts to enter into it. Yes, I will actually enjoy that very much. And for example, if someone contemplates some sexual act, you're thinking about it, then it starts to actually have the physical desire. But then it's very dangerous. Because of your thinking, then you start to feeling. I really want to do this now. And then it's practically too late. Thinking, feeling, then willing. All right, I'll do it. So We have to stop these activities in the first stage, although it's a subtle thing. You have to be able to see what your mind is doing and stop it. Stop the bad thought with the higher knowledge. This is the instruction of the Shastras. If one does not do so, one is doomed to follow the dictations of the mind. Another bona fide process is to abide strictly by the orders of the spiritual master and engage in the Lord's service. Then the mind will be automatically controlled. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has instructed Srila Rupa Goswami, Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavan Jeev, Guru Krishna Prasadi Pai Bhakti Vatada Bij. When one receives the seed of devotional service by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one's real life begins. If one abides by the order of the spiritual master, by the grace of Krishna, he is freed from service to the mind. So in this difficult task of controlling the mind, we're not alone if we have a spiritual master. Sometimes devotees, they're puzzled. How do I have an actual relationship with my spiritual master if he's not here? How is he helping me? How can I serve him? How is he helping? So he gave some instructions to you for how you can be a devotee. So you have to carry those instructions out even when he's not there. If you take your relationship with your spiritual master seriously, it's not that he has to be there for you to do what you're supposed to do. Even if he did come back, say your spiritual master was there, and then he goes away. Then if he came back, what would you ask him? You'd say, what should I do? What are my instructions? And he would tell you in person, or he just told you and then he went away. But your job, whether he's there or away, if you actually want a spiritual master and want to succeed in spiritual life, is to follow his instructions. Rather than think on your own what to do, now you have some instructions, and he's a representative of Krishna. So his instructions are to water the seed of devotional service that he has given you. He gave you some inspiration, and he gave you the Hare Krishna mantra. When we get initiated, the Guru gives us our beads and says, chant 16 rounds, follow the four rules. That's very important. That moment is the most important moment of our life. Even if we were chanting before, now we promise in front of Krishna and the Guru and the disciples and the Guru that we will follow this vow. And that vow requires work every day. I will chant 16 rounds and I will always obey these four rules. So the Guru's order is very strong in a submissive disciple, and when he tries to carry it out, he waters the seed with chanting and hearing. And then he becomes a strong devotee to not be overcome by the mind. Then when the mind says something, he's stronger than the mind. This should be our position. There are two forces. There's Maya and the mind, and then there's Krishna and the Guru's order. So, objectively, Krishna is much stronger than Maya. But within an individual person, Maya could be stronger than Krishna. He's allowed it to become like that. That's unfortunate. That the Krishna consciousness in a person's life could be very small, and the Maya is very strong. So we have to reverse that, so that Krishna is strong, and then when Maya speaks, it's just a little squeak, and we just can say, no, of course not, I'm not going to do what you want. But unfortunately, Maya becomes strong, and the desire to serve Krishna becomes a squeak. Then we're in a very unfortunate position. Then we want to be a devotee, but we can't, somehow or other. We just keep getting overcome. That's our own fault. We've neglected, and now it's become overrun. Now we have to face it and do some real heavy work to cut back all the heavy maya that's developed. That should be done. And then resume the natural position of taking shelter of all-powerful Krishna. So, nice to be here before Gaur Nitai. you. Does anyone have any questions?
Making reference to what you were speaking in the beginning about hearing and chanting, there's different chapters in the Srimad Bhagavatam that say one who hears this narration with faith that one will get liberation, or I can't exactly remember.
Yes, get love of God.
So, yeah, so could you elaborate on that point a little bit?
You know what he's saying? That when you read some chapters in the Bhagavatam, at the end of the chapter, it'll say, whoever hears this story, or sometimes whoever recites this story in the morning and night, or reads this narration, he will get, and then some benediction is mentioned. And some of them are, that he will go back to Godhead, or he will attain love of God. Some of them sound like material things. So we may think, well, I read that chapter. Where is the love of God? So it has to be understood that potentiality is there in that chapter if you read it, but you have to read it very purely. That principle is explained in Nectar of Devotion, where there are some very powerful benedictions mentioned. And it's mentioned that if anybody sees Lord Jagannath on the Rath Yatra, he becomes liberated, different things. And then Prabhupada actually raises the doubt. He said, someone may wonder about these benedictions. How is it possible? And then he says, it is true for some people, but not all. So the benediction doesn't mean that any kind of performance of that act will get that result. But it can happen for certain people by Krishna's grace or by that devotee's sincerity. And it may not happen also if someone doesn't do it with sincerity. So, first of all, we should have faith in that statement of the benediction. And if we don't have faith, then it's not going to happen. But if you actually have faith and practice it, then it's likely that it can happen for you. So that's my understanding of those benedictions. Don't think that they're just make-believe stories or exaggerations.
So it's not something that we should take cheaply.
Yeah.
But actually, we don't have faith when we read it. Or at least we could say that faith should be...
Yeah, the more faith. There's a story, a true story of, I think it may have been Yamunacharya, connected with him. He was reading the Bhagavad Gita verse, Yoga Shama Bahamyaham, what Krishna says, I give to them what they lack, and I maintain what they have. And he couldn't have faith in that line, that Krishna says, I will give them what they lack. I will maintain them. He said it couldn't be that Krishna personally does this. It must mean that somehow or other it's arranged, but not that Krishna does it directly. So he actually, in his lack of faith, he scratched out the meaning and changed it to an indirect meaning. And then there's a whole story how Krishna actually appeared to him and showed him that he does personally do it. And the devotee was very ashamed that he had not had faith. So, we tend to not have faith in the statements of Scripture. But if somebody does, then he'll get the results. But there's a test sometimes to prove that you do have faith. Great faith. The Brahmin read the Bhagavad Gita every day because his guru said to him, although he couldn't even understand it properly because he was not an educated man. But he had faith in his guru's order. So he attained Krishna. Krishna consciousness by that faith. So if he has to decide, he cannot ask his guru. He should at least decide in terms of deciding in favor of Krishna consciousness as far as he knows it, rather than in favor of Maya. The guru doesn't have to be there. If he's a real disciple, he knows what he should do. Has to think, what would my guru want me to do? And then decide in favor of that. If it's a difficult thing and he cannot figure it out, then he has to pray to Krishna and he may take consultation with other devotees. But you were speaking of disagreements among devotees. That will happen. But at least we shouldn't disagree with Krishna and the spiritual master and continue to do our duty, even if we cannot always agree with everybody. Because we're different persons, we tend to disagree. But nobody is forcing me. But by the fact that I may not be able to get along with devotees, I can't offer that as a reason that I could not follow the instructions of the spiritual master. Just our weak-heartedness. That's a different thing, that I have some disagreements with devotees or I can't get along with devotees. Then if Krishna asks, or your guru asks, oh, why you have left devotional service or you're not following strictly, oh, because I couldn't agree with the devotees. And they'll say, well, that's a different thing, but why are you saying that's the reason that you didn't follow? Well, I couldn't get along with the devotees, so I got angry, I got depressed. Well, that's Maya. Don't blame it. Even if the devotee is disagreeing with you, causes you distress, you shouldn't give up your duty. It would be nice if everything were always pleasant and agreeable with others. But when it's not, we still have to do our duty. Much as Parsha has to come to you. Have to tolerate. Sometimes serving the order of the spiritual master and the society of devotees is very blissful. And sometimes, for reasons that you gave, like we may have disagreements with people, it becomes not so agreeable. But in either case, we do our duty. I'm getting a little tired out. I want to get the most mileage out of me, better take a little bit at a time. What do you want?
Just to understand this point of view is that as long as one follows the spiritual master and serves Krishna, if he gives up some service, but he still serves the spiritual master and Krishna, that's not like
the main service. No, the main service, the first service, is the four rules and 16 rounds. Then we would hope that somebody does more than that. But that should be his life and soul, those basic things. even if he had to give up some other service, I don't know. It's hard to speak in a general way about whatever may be the specific example you're thinking of. It's good to do as much service as we can, but at least I can make this point, that if in order to preserve the main instructions, the four rules and 16 rounds, you feel you have to give up some service, then you should give it up in order to keep the main service. Or if due to some reasons of disagreement you have to give up some service, if you're still following those vows, then yes, you're still following your guru. And you can take solace in that. Oh well, for different reasons I've had to give up a lot of service I was doing, but at least I'm still obeying the orders of my spiritual master. So those are some answers. All right. So we'll talk again. To the Prabhupada ki jai. Oh yeah.